And now we've got more from Elizabeth Warren. She's the chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel, charged with following the billions of dollars the government's giving to financial institutions through the TARP program. The Oversight Panel issues a report today that looks at TARP, small business lending, and credit available to families. With that, credit cards. Elizabeth, you've tackled the credit issue before, in part in your work as a professor and an author. Let's listen to a real-life example from one of our listeners. Last April, we heard from Philomena from upstate New York to tell us her credit card story.
I was talking to Bank of America yesterday because of a letter we received. We have over a 700 credit score, never paid a bill partially, always in full, and they decided to halve our credit availability.
Is that something that the company should be held accountable for, restricting credit at a time when there is so much government funding going to try to loosen credit? And we're talking here about people who have good or decent scores.
Right. So, you know, this is the big policy question that's on the table right now. Should a condition of receiving taxpayer support be that you use a little more customer-friendly practices?
In theory, they're getting almost free money from the feds, and they can jack up these fees and interest rates on the other side. I mean, that's a huge business. I'd love to get into that business.
No kidding. And it really boosts your profits. And, you know, for the companies, that works out really well. It's a way to boost up your profits. And, hey, maybe you'll be able to pay back your government money eventually. You'll be able to weather this crisis. But it's also potentially very destabilizing to a lot of families who are budgeted close to the wire. You know, they're making their payments, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you jerk up those interest rates, you cut back on the credit line, and they're in real trouble now.
You know, your book, The Two Income Trap, was something that you did with your daughter, and which I find, you know, as a woman in particular, I find that fascinating. What was it like to team up to do that kind of important work with your own child?
Well, you know, we were looking at all this data that I had. I had a new study out on families who'd filed for bankruptcy, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with these data. And my little baby granddaughter was born, and this is Amelia, my daughter's baby. And so we kept having these conversations around when she was born, and finally that became the frame to the book. Now, we don't really describe it that way in the book. But the truth is, it's about what happened in one generation, what it meant to start a family in the early 1970s, and kind of, you know, how it worked on income and housing and schools and costs and budgets and savings, and what it's been like to try to start a family in the 2000s, in the early 2000s. And the world has changed profoundly in that one generation snapshot. And that's what we ended up writing the book around.
So many people thought, okay, this is great. We've had second wave feminism, which has allowed women to go to work, and women are still having kids, and the guys are still working. What's wrong with that equation of everything being cool?
Yeah, well, the problem is I just keep looking at this from the economics. You know, I'm just a straightforward, I'm just a money girl. I want to see at the end of the day what's happening, and here's the bottom line on what's happening. The only way over one generation that families are making any increase in money is by putting a second person into the workforce. That is, the wages of a man, hate to tell you this, adjusted for inflation, median earning male in the United States makes $800 less than he used to.
She was looking
one generation
at me.
Back.
She was looking at me. I just got a pay cut
just,
here.
That's yeah. right. I just wanted yeah, you to know.
Definitely.
Okay, yeah. $800
get
down.
Those kids out. Working.
So the only way we could continue to get some kind of rise in family income was by putting a second worker in. But the problem is core expenses outstrip that. Housing, health insurance, transportation, child care, and taxes, because families are paying right on these two salaries. At the end of the day, today's two-income family has less money left over after those five basic expenses than the one-income family had a generation ago.
So you got your headphones on?
I got them on.
Listen to this sound here. You know what that sound is?
Yeah, I know.
That's the sound of what?
That's the sound of those credit card processing things.
Not being declined.
Not being declined.
Kind of a cliffhanger for consumers, really, for a long, long time. But in this environment where we're told every day there's a credit crunch, What of these two-income families who you describe as more in debt now than ever before fall off the edge as a result of the changes that have taken place even in the last few months in this economy?
You know, this is the part that's really scary, because when Amelia and I wrote the book, it was still boom times. In fact, a lot of people that we talked with laughed at us. You know, oh, what do you mean about the deteriorating economic situation of the American family? Times are great, party on, party on. We are in such a weakened state going into this recession. People are not stopping to account for this, that we're hitting unemployment, we're hitting rises in costs at a time when the American family was already staggering economically. The federal government said on their mortgage mitigation program that if any bank was going to take TARP money, they had to be willing to participate in the mortgage program to try to help on foreclosures. The question on the table is, should they do the same thing on credit cards and other practices? There are a lot of folks, even within my own panel, who say no.
You say yes.
And I'm one of the people who says yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to leave it right there. Certainly have learned a lot from you, Elizabeth Warren. Thank you.
Thank you.